Get the knives out. Dish is about to be served. Outrageous. Are you kidding? I've been inside only one woman after I was born. The Statue of Liberty. Provocative. If it's a pain in the ass, honey, you're not doing it right. Pop culture. Meanwhile, she's on the cover of Us Weekly, dating. Boyfriends are like jobs, except he probably stopped sucking after a year. Wicked. What do I look for in a guy? My dick. Smart. Sexy. Contemporary. I mean, I can't. Porn Again, the podcast.
Hi, everyone. It's Josh Sabara. Welcome to Porn Again, the podcast. I'm very excited about today because my guest is the very talented and beautiful Morgan McMichaels, the drag alter ego of Thomas White.
Yes.
But you're Morgan, who rose to fame on the second season of the hit logo series RuPaul's Drag Race. And you've appeared in multiple seasons of RuPaul's Drag U. Is that right?
Yep.
So, by the way, what was that like going from, well, we can get into that, but going from one, like, sort of series hopping?
It was, like, night and day, actually.
Because you're going to the second series as sort of already a star.
Well, I think, you know, on Drag Race, we were contestants. And then on Drag U, we were talent. You know, we were always treated like family. But I think, you know, because we were the professors, you know.
Right.
We got a little bit more love.
Right. So before we get into all of that, because obviously I have a lot to ask you, but I'm going to talk about a couple of things annoying me at the moment,
okay.
Which is my favorite thing to do is bitch.
You're in good company.
So call me anytime for that. So there, these TV movie spectacles have sort of become the latest craze, like the latest TV genre. So we had The Sound of Music, we had The Wiz, we had Grease Live, and Hairspray is coming, from what I understand. So the Rocky Horror Picture Show is coming, starring Laverne Cox as Frankenfurter and Adam Lambert, who's going to play Eddie in the remake. So he says that he turned down the role of Frankenfurter because he felt that in 2016, it was inappropriate for a cisgender actor to be playing a transgender role. Now, in my opinion, shouldn't any actor be able to play any role? Isn't that sort of the idea? So, and the character was specifically noted as a transvestite in the original movie, not necessarily transgender. So what are your thoughts on Adam's opinion?
Well, first of all, I don't think they should be remaking anything. You know, when it's done right the first time, don't fuck it up.
Don't go back
again.
Right.
But, you know, this is like a resurgence of like in the 80s when they redid like, you know, The Wiz. It was a takeoff of, obviously, Wizard of Oz
and then
The Return to Oz. Those were different stories, and they were told in a different way, and it was amazing. But these remakes, I can't stand. I can't. That Grease was horrifying.
I mean,
it was horrifying.
I mean, you have to appreciate the undertaking that it was. The fact that they did it all on one lot. You won't even give them credit for that.
No, it was horrible. Like, Olivia Newton-John, you can't get better than that.
Don't think Julianne Hough is the actress of our time?
She's beautiful, but, like, that was a magical time. Like, Grease was a magical movie and meant so much to so many different types of communities and people.
Right.
You know? And, like, how are you going to try and put Vanessa Hudgens in Stockard Channing's shoes?
Right.
Good fucking
Although
luck.
She wasn't, I have to admit, she wasn't as bad as I thought she would be.
Well, I appreciate her effort, but just don't fucking do it.
Well, and her father did pass away the night before, so we...
That doesn't give you an excuse for a bad performance.
Well, that's the same thing I say, because I always rag on the fact that Tom Hanks' wife, Rita Wilson, has two CDs, not one, two. And somebody said to me, oh, but she had breast cancer. Okay, I feel terrible. I don't want anyone to go through that, but that doesn't mean you should get in front of a microphone and put an album out.
Right. I mean, but, you know... It's individual, I suppose, like talent and like what you like is individual. But I think that with Adam's comments, and I've known Adam for a really long time.
Right. And I think he's great. I mean, I love him as a performer.
Superstar. Yep. Like him performing with Queen and all that. I love that. I think he's wrong because, you know, Frankenfurter is a transvestite. He's not a transgendered woman. He's a transvestite, which is a man that dresses like a woman.
But do you think all of these labels have become really confusing because... What people used to refer to as a transsexual, I mean, that term is basically retired.
Right.
So now
it's
there's...
offensive.
Right. And now it's transgender because it's gender having nothing to do with sex. in the term, in, well, I mean,
I think that every community deserves having their label the way they want it to be, mm-hmm. being a gay man or a transgendered woman, boy or girl, you know, it's your identity really. And it's right. how you come together in a community, and it's how you come together as a group of people that believe the same thing. You know, it's just like Catholics and Protestants and Muslims and this and that. They identify all the same thing. So let them call themselves whatever they want.
Got it.
And I believe everybody should have that power. I just think that Adam is wrong. That's a, you know, and we, in this day and age, everything's too PC, you know, and I'm not one to want to offend someone, but like doing comedy and like being an MC in drag, like you're supposed to poke fun, but that this.
But people are really uptight now. People, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. People look to be offended. It's almost like people want to be offended so they can be outraged.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's it. I just think everybody.
I feel that way.
I just think everybody wants to have the same rights as everyone else. And it's the little things that accumulate to be a big thing, you know? And if you keep letting the little things, like calling people a tranny or calling a trans girl he or vice versa, calling a trans boy she, that shit may be little, but all those little things become too much. And then it becomes okay to kill our trans brothers and sisters. And
yes, but I think part of the problem is that when there are some of them that are, like those points I think are important points, mm-hmm. but when everybody's being offended by every little thing, what it does is it marginalizes the things that are really important because people are too busy being outraged by everything.
Well, I think, you know, back in the day, when our LGBT community was fighting for each other, I think, you know, lesbians are very forgiving because they forgave the gay boys for kind of putting them out when mm-hmm. they were trying to fight. Gay people in general have so many more rights than trans people. And I think it's our duty as gay men and gay women to help out our trans brothers and sisters, because let's bring them to where we are and then let's keep fighting to get everything, you know. I feel like the trans community has been left behind a little bit by the gay community, and I don't like that.
All right, so we have to fix that.
Yeah, we absolutely.
So and what do you think the steps are to, what?
Well, I just think like, you know.
And where does that start? How do
well,
we?
I think there's a lot of like this whole North Carolina bathroom situation, like all these bills that are being passed in Mississippi and Tennessee where, you know, you have to use the restroom of your birth gender. I mean, some of my trans brothers and sisters, and I'm sure you can attest, I mean, they're beautiful as fuck. And I would not want, you know, Candace Cain in the men's room. That's a problem for straight women more than it is having Candace Cain in the girls' bathroom. And using the restroom as a private event.
Right.
You're not taking a shit with the stall door open.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So,
I mean, apparently there are some people.
Right. But I think, you know, when we get our trans rights as good as our gay rights are,
right.
then we can continue fighting as the community we all love to talk about. You know, it's funny to say, like, we're all LGBT, we're our community, but we're not when we're leaving someone behind.
Do you think that the Caitlyn Jenner, the whole thing with the show and I Am Kate and all that, do you think it's certainly brought visibility, but do you think she has been a positive peg in that whole wheel, or do you think that it's been a disservice?
I think it's a double-edged sword mm-hmm. because, you know, she has become transgendered, mm-hmm. you know, publicly, and she's got a TV show, but I don't think she necessarily represents what the trans community is about
right.
because, you know, I know a lot of trans people that are very successful, and I know a lot of trans people that suck dick for a living, mm-hmm. and there's two sides of the spectrum that she doesn't represent. And that's why I think she's brought these other girls on, because there are conservative trans people and there are very liberal trans people and fun trans people. And trans people are not robots or aliens. They're people like me and you.
Right.
They just happen to be braver than everyone else, I think. I think the trans community is so brave because they go out there and they go against what people think and say.
Right, to be themselves.
Yeah. They're like, well, fuck it. I'm beautiful and you're not, so kiss my ass.
But I think part of my thing with Caitlyn is that I just don't think she's that smart.
Well,
at least from what I observe. I mean, I haven't tested her. I haven't given her any sort of like Stanford Binet, but
I think she's just very, very smart.
I think the things that come out of her mouth.
I don't think she represents the trans community because, and she's never said that she did, you know, and that's another thing. I don't think she represents it because she doesn't know about it. And when you don't know about something, you shouldn't speak on it.
Well, or be accepting awards or be doing a reality or unscripted show that purports to represent a community that you know nothing about.
Well, I think like when she got the awards mm-hmm. for her, she deserves it because the bitch was on a Wheaties box, you know. She represented this country.
But that's not what the award was for.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, having that kind of fame and then moving into this trans thing and being that, you know, that must have been really tough.
I mean, it's sort of how I felt about Jennifer Hudson getting an Oscar. Like, she was okay in Dreamgirls. She won an Oscar because she's an amazing singer. Should have gotten a Grammy. But yeah. Okay, we gave her an Oscar. So I sort of feel that way about Caitlyn Jenner. But I don't know. I just, that does not seem like the sharpest tool in the shed to me, but whatever.
We'll see where she's going.
I don't think that she was in gifted class.
I would love to see Candace have a show, though.
Oh, I think she's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, they have a lot. I think it's on Fuse. They have the transgender show that World of Wonder produces.
Mm-hmm.
Asia
Transcendence,
SF.
Yeah, right.
It's about the girls in Asia SF. And it's amazing.
See, to me, I'd prefer people to see that than see.
Well, they should see both, I think, and get both sides of the spectrum. You know,
there's a lot
the gay community is not all queer as folk, you know.
No.
And it's not all white party. So it's the same thing for our trans brothers and sisters, I think.
So then I want to shift for a minute to LaPortia Renee, who is the final American Idol runner-up. So she said in an interview that she doesn't agree with the LGBT lifestyle, even though she has a lot of friends and a lot of people whom I love dearly and who are gay and homosexual. They're such sweet, nice people. We should just respect each other's differences and opinions and move on.
Well, goodbye career. Goodbye career.
Do you really think that will be
the kiss of death?
You do?
It is the kiss of death. When you come out in a negative fashion against any community now, you're basically kissing your career goodbye. And I'm sure she would love, you know, a faggot will do her makeup and a faggot will do her hair and a faggot will dress her ass and make her look as polished as she does, but she doesn't agree with our lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle choice. Gay is not a lifestyle.
Right. Well, I always take issue with that term.
I just don't understand where that comes from.
Right.
You know, but she was terrible anyway.
Well, and then the gentleman who won, I don't even remember his name.
I don't watch the show.
But he sort of, I mean, in a smart publicity move, sort of made a comment about how he's accepting of everyone. He sort of rode the wave of the backlash towards her.
I don't watch the show, so.
I don't either.
I heard her sing and I've heard him sing. I watched the little final, you know, thing.
Right. Yes,
all
so did
the
I.
idols were on
That's
there.
Why I watched it, because I wanted to see who'd gotten
better.
Better, who wasn't, who yeah, shouldn't be singing anymore.
Kelly
who,
Clarkson just gives me everything I need.
She's amazing.
I love her.
Right?
I love her.
I know, so do I. And do you remember, and I was worried that they weren't going to throw in a moment like this, the song that she had to sing when she won. Because you're usually really bad at those songs, but I love them.
I love that song. And you know, Leona Lewis sung that song when she won X Factor.
Did she? I did not know that.
Yeah. Okay. Her version's pretty good too.
But I even like the Carrie Underwood, Inside Your Heaven.
Yeah, I love Carrie Underwood.
So do I.
Hate her politics, love her.
I mean, again, I don't think she's another one I've heard her talk and I'm like, sing. Stick to singing. You know, there are a number of people I think that about. I'm like, use your talent and don't do interviews.
Ever.
Okay. So now we're going to get to you.
So ooh, lovely.
You're from Scotland originally. When did you move here?
Well, I was born in 81 in Scotland and we moved here in 87. And Mama moved us back to Scotland in 94. And I decided to move back here in 99 permanently.
And what was it that made you decide to come back?
The sunshine. California life is brilliant.
And do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. Spread across the world.
Got it. And are you all close? And
yes, generally. Yeah.
So when did you sort of first get that or discover your interest in performing?
I've always been a, you know, showboater, entertainer, even from when I was young.
So what kinds of things, like how did that manifest itself? In what ways?
Well, you know, I wasn't really allowed to do a lot because we are Scottish and men do men things, and at the time, anyway, Scotland has really flourished with its, you know, openness. I played football. You know, I was a cadet. And I was in the Army cadets for years. Oh, yeah. I did boy things.
Oh, I don't even know what shape a football is.
Soccer. Soccer ball, you call it here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A round one with the checkered one. Yeah.
So those were the things that we did. And we did, I don't know.
But did you feel that you were, I mean, when did you know you were gay?
Always.
Same with me. I knew when I was like in, you know. So were you comfortable doing those things or comfortable doing things that were predominantly male?
Or masculine?
Yeah.
I don't see gender line, I guess.
But in terms of how other people saw it, like, did you ever feel like an outsider?
I never cared.
Didn't care?
Never cared.
So where do you think that comes
from?
My
mother.
Yeah. So she recognized this about you early on and just was...
She never spoke on it until I spoke on it. But she knew. Everybody knew. I mean...
How old were you when you had the conversation with her that you actually just said
I was 17. I was 17. Yeah.
And did she basically roll her eyes and was like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, duh. That's stupid. Yeah. So it's quite easy, actually.
Basically, she gave you this sense of self that... Mm-hmm. Didn't let, you know, bullies or anybody.
No, I was always bullied until I came out. You know, I was bullied really hardcore until I came out. And then when I came out, I used that power against them. You know, you have to flip it. So that's why.
Reverse the script, right? So when, at what age did the drag thing come about?
21.
Okay.
And I'd moved here. I had already lived here and I was very good friends with Raven.
Okay.
And Mayhem. And I'd known Delta and I'd seen all the drag queens. I had never seen a drag queen a day in my life till I moved here. I'd seen Lily Savage, who was like legendary in the UK, a comedian. But I'd never seen a drag queen. I did not know what a drag show was. And I went to a club called Oz in Orange County. And I'd seen Raja and Chanel and Viva and Delta and all these queens. And I was like enamored with it. But I never thought I would do it. I was like, this is cool, but, you know, hey-ho. And then I just started go-go dancing. Raven, Mayhem, and I all go-go danced. And then...
Here in L.A.?
No, in Riverside.
Okay.
And then we started backup dancing for drag queens. And then...
Is there a big market for that?
Yeah. I mean, time there was. Okay. Like, because we did a big show called Fantasies. And it was put on at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. And we were like the backup dancers for the J-Lo and the Janet. And it was just something to do, you know. Because Raven, myself, and Mayhem, not ever been into drugs. That stayed away from that, for sure. So that's what we did. That's how we utilized our time.
And how did you, I mean, because drugs and, you know, all of that is so prevalent when you're, you know, going out and having to go to clubs to work. Uh-huh. How did you... What was it that kept you away from that?
It's just not something that I've, you know, been interested in, you know. You don't know who's cutting what with what. And,
right.
You know, I'm not saying I'm an angel and I've never done it.
Right.
But it's not something that I'm interested in. And that's, you surround yourself with people that are like-minded.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, that's like I said to you the other day. I'm like, you know, in bed at 10, like, you know, people start, they're saying, do you want to go out? I'm like, at what time? It's 10 o'clock. I'm in bed. What do you mean go out?
Netflix is on. Are you crazy? But yeah, so that's what we did to utilize our time. And then I started doing drag. And then maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, Raven and Mayhem started on the same night together. And that was.
But how did you know, like, just having been a go-go dancer, how did you know that you would be good at it? Like, how did you know what you'd look like in drag or what you, I mean, you're stunning in drag, but how did you know?
Oh. Now maybe, but like before it was, I looked like Mac and Me or something. It was not great.
Mac and Me.
Yeah. That's a movie reference. If you don't know what it is, go ahead and Google
that
it.
That was like the poor man's E.T.
But I loved that movie.
So did I.
But it was not always great. And it was, you never stop learning. You never stop getting into what new makeup trends. And we see it on every season of Drag Race. There's a new way to do an eyebrow or contour or this or that. It's always different and it's always changing.
And will you lift from that?
Like, always. Always. That's what you have to do. You know, you learn. If you think you've stopped learning, you think you've run the gamut, you should probably quit. Like, look at RuPaul. Her look evolves every season and her hair evolves every season. It's always fantastic, but it gets better and better and better. And she's 50 something years old.
But do you think better has to do with having the money to make it better?
No.
Or does it really have to do with just sort of the creativity and ingenuity?
No, it's definitely creativity, because you can have all the money in the world and still be busted as shit. You know, you can have people paint you and do all this stuff, but I think personality has a lot to do with it. And I think, like, with Rue, she is, like, the queen mother of drag and all that kind of stuff, but she looks amazing.
Right.
She's the body and, you know.
I know.
And it's her attitude that's really always positive. And, like, she'll catch you on the street and talk shit. You know, I was walking to Mickey's the other day, and she drove by in her mom's little red car. And she screamed out of the window at me, Morgan McMichaels. And I was like, oh my God, okay. And she drove around the block to come back and talk. Like, she's that kind of person. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes you the star. So it doesn't matter what you look like. But
when you make that choice, when you're like, okay, I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm going to try it and just give it a go, see what I look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did. And I got dressed and I got good feedback from my friends, you know.
Okay.
I was obviously fucking weight busted. But, you know, at the time, you thought, oh, fuck.
Right.
Gorgeous. And then, you know, the confidence. We all seek confidence.
Right.
We all seek attention, whether you admit it or not.
I think people just go about it in different ways.
Absolutely.
I mean, some people do it professionally, you know, in the work, you know, in an executive way, or some people, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, not, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but, like, as a kid, I was singled out for being gay.
Right.
So when I come into an environment where all of the people are all of the same thing, what are you going to do to stand out? And that's why people do porn. And that's why people do drag or DJ or dress up in fabulous clothes. You know, it's a way to stand out when you're amongst the same, you know. So it's an interesting point of view, I think.
So how much of the drag persona, because it is actually... How much is actually Morgan McMichaels and how much is Thomas White?
I think I've been doing it so long, it all has kind of amalgamated together and just become one thing.
But is there something that you would do as Morgan on stage that you wouldn't do as Thomas?
Well, I wouldn't do anything on stage as Thomas. I think as Thomas, I'm the polar opposite of Morgan. Like, I don't want to be seen, talked to, heard from. I like my little bubble and my little space, and that's my downtime, you know. But Morgan, you have to take every picture and talk to every single person. That's your duty as a queen. I think a lot of people forget that. You know, they're not there for you. You're there for them.
And do you think that a lot of people lose sight of that, especially with the fact that it's become, you know, that now it's a little more mainstream and that you've become a celebrity?
See, I don't see myself as a celebrity, and that I just don't see that. I don't see it. I'm still a local,
which is great,
girl.
But people know who you are.
Yeah, and I'm very blessed for that.
Right.
But now it's my, you know, Rue has given us this platform, and there's so many girls that have taken it so many great places, and that's what we're supposed to do. We have to get out there.
You're like an ambassador.
Uh-huh. And I think your behavior reflects that as well. Like, obviously, I filmed Drag Race so many years ago, and you grow, and people see you grow, and, like, with Mystique and me, we had that massive fight, and we're very great friends. We're very close, and she's thin as a rake, and she's healthy, and she looks amazing, and I love the growth. And I think a lot of people need to see that, you know?
Do you feel in any way that you have to, like, separate your, like, how do you know when you need that time to separate yourself from that persona, though? Like, then, okay, it's time for me.
Well, the minute it comes off, it comes off. Like, the minute the drag comes off, I'm Thomas, and it's just a job, really, at the end of the day.
But
I don't live the persona of Morgan. I just, you know, go out there and do what I need to do and perform and meet and greet and help when and where I can.
Got it.
But okay. Once that shit comes off, I mean, I still have my belief system, and I still, you know, that's something that Morgan and Thomas, like, have is the push for our community and the push for my sisters, you know, especially the Drag Race girls. We're scrutinized a lot, I think. Some put out messages that are difficult to, you know, deal with, and, you know, maybe behaviors are not so great sometimes. So it's our duty to kind of bumper that and counter it and help out and soften the blow, maybe. I don't know.
And can you give us an example of something like
that? Well, you know, Trinity just released a video.
Okay.
And it was talking about local queens. That's what everybody took from the video. And basically her message was, you know, I go out of town. And she was speaking from her own experience. I go out of town and I get shaded by queens. And I get attitude from these local girls, what she calls local girls. And her delivery was wrong. I would not have posted that message. I have had the same experience. I've been to nightclubs where people in queens are not so nice. But there's a reason for that. You know, there's two sides to every story. So who was there before you fucking it up and being mean to those queens? Or, you know, there's so many reasons. I don't know. I mean, I understood her message. I just thought the delivery was wrong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then some girls from the show went on the offensive and it just became something that it shouldn't even have happened, you know.
So that does that get discussed among all of you? Like,
no.
No,
because there's no, and the problem with the general public, I think, is that there is no more debate. It's whether you either agree with my opinion or I hate you,
right,
or you're an asshole. And that's why, like, on my fan page or my Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram or any of my social media, I don't delete comments. If someone doesn't like me and they leave a nasty comment, I leave it there because that's their opinion. I can't do a fucking thing about it. So I leave it
there. Are you hurt by those things when somebody says something?
No, because, again, my mother, you know, tough love. Right. And that's what I deal in, too. I deal tough love because I was dealt tough love. And not that I'm not vulnerable, because I think that I'm very vulnerable and open, but I just don't let the little things get to me. You know, there's always that line in the movie, Point of No Return. Mm-hmm. I never did mind about the
Bridget
little things.
Fonda.
Oh, yeah. You know.
I love that we have the same canon of films in our heads.
Love that movie. But, you know, I think that Trinity's entitled to her own opinion. And, you know, when you gun for the lowest common denominator comments, like her teeth are fucked up and she has HIV and she has this and she's that. That doesn't make you a better person for saying those things to her.
Tearing someone down does not.
Debate. Right. Get into the debate. You know, healthy debate is a good thing.
Sounds like your mother was an amazing parent.
She is. Yeah. My mom is rad. She was very.
More people should have her.
My mom is very headstrong. And all of my family members are my brothers and sisters are the same way because of that. No, you know, it's not a no apology attitude, but it's like, this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And that's just that.
Right. But she instilled a sense of self in you guys. That's really admirable. You know,
she's older now. She sees that as maybe not something that's so great because, you know, I have a passion about a lot of things.
Right. But, you know, at the end of the day it is.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So it's widely known that you're the drag daughter of Chad Michaels.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So can you explain to me what that means exactly in that world? Like, how do you become the drag daughter of someone else?
Well, you know, when I started drag, I did not know Chad. And I was, myself and Mayhem were taken under the wing of a queen. And her name was Pauline. And then she'd put us in drag a couple of times, taken us out a couple of times. But then had kind of went off on her own and left us to the four winds, I guess, in hindsight. So Mayhem and I just kept doing it and raving. And we did a lot of really fun gigs and we hustled. And that's one thing I talk about a lot is, you know, just because Drag Race is out and it's brought a million queens out. And I love that. You have to hustle still because now there's more of us. What are you going to do to separate yourself? So when I had met... we were doing shows, doing Delta's show. Delta got me. Delta's one of my best friends, and I have I owe a lot to her. She got me in the Dream Girls. She got me in Toucan. She got me a lot of gigs that I still do to this day. So, you know, Chad took me under his wing and taught me how to character paint and taught me how to do this and me, you know, just helped me in every way. And then, you know, I was crowned the drag daughter. So I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed to have someone so talented and well-rounded in and out of drag.
And where did the name Morgan McMichaels come from?
Well, Morgan Le Fay is the Queen of the Fairies, and I wanted to be Queen of the Fairies.
Okay.
Know, a little nod to that, and it's a British name, it's a Scottish name, and an Irish one as well. But it, I wanted to keep everything very British. Michaels is from Chad Michaels, and the Mick, Chad's partner Adam McGee is my drag father. So McGee and Michaels.
So wait, so there's like a whole drag family's drag
yes.
father.
Uh huh. That's Chad's partner. Now Adam made all of my pink costumes, made me all of my costume, my Two of Hearts costume he made.
Oh, we're gonna get to Stacey Q shortly. We're not missing. We're not missing that.
But yeah, he made all my costumes and really helped me out. Came to all the gigs with me. Like Chad wouldn't come, but like Adam would come. You know, because I was doing a lot of circuit parties, and he would make my costumes. So,
so tell me about the Drag Race filming experience. Was it? I mean, and having such a national platform, and you were young.
Mm-hmm.
Very. Not to say that you're not young now, but you were younger.
I was younger.
And so dealing with that, like, how are you prepared to deal? You know, it's a
you can't prepare.
Not
for
a
it.
Normal thing.
Well, yeah, it's, I had never been on TV, obviously, and I had never been on. I thought it was going to be like a pageant or like a drag, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it ran so much longer, like obviously, and it was just you can never be prepared for RuPaul's Drag Race, no matter how many. Excuse me. How many costumes you have, how many wigs, how many times you've seen each episode. Rue keeps it so fresh and shady because you never know what you're going to get, you know? And like Sasha Bell on season 7 had said, I watch every episode. I know exactly what to do and exactly what's going to happen. And then Rue, you know, she's like, yeah, good luck, bitch. This is fucking season 8 now. They're already casting for season 9.
Right.
So everything you've seen will never happen again. It's going to be something always fresh.
Yeah, right.
So you can't prepare. So I got on and, you know, I kind of, they take everything away from you. They take your phone and your computer and you have no outside reach. You can't talk to anybody. And my dad was in a car accident a couple days of Drag Race and it just, I wasn't going to go. I wasn't in the right mind frame of being there. And I was in a brand new relationship at the time and I wanted to be with him and I just, you know, it was just, and my sister was here from Scotland at the time as well. There was a lot of things going on.
So do you feel your true personality came through or how much of that or
that was all me.
How much of it is edited, is created in?
I love the editing excuse.
Well, there are some, here's the thing. Having worked a lot in TV, there are some times where when unscripted shows are cast, mm-hmm. they know what they want each person to be. And they will edit it to create that if it's not given to them.
Well, I think with drag, it might be a different kettle of fish because, I you know, like with the Tammy Browns and the Deltas and the Pork Chops and the Morgans or the Ravens or Tyra or whoever, mm-hmm. you're going to get all of those personalities in, anyway. But I there's a lot of excuses of, oh, they edited me to look like a bitch. They edited me to look
like... And you're like, no, you're just
like,
a bitch.
No, you're just a fucking bitch. I was an asshole. You know, I was very brash and... I'm British. That's just what we are. We're very forward, you know, especially in Scotland. We're quite, you know. But I was, everything you saw was me. Everything you saw was me. There was no, there's no excuse to not admit it. And I think I'm
Was there a moment at all that you felt wasn't a true representation of
no,
you at any point?
No, the whole thing was me. I think, you know, with the fact that when I'm laughing, when Rue asked me if what I was laughing at, that was more nerves than anything else. I just didn't know what to say. And it wasn't that. Like, one of the girls behind me, we had kind of tried to figure out, like, who was going to go home and what position if you were standing. Like, you know, we're trying to play Inspector Gadget.
Right.
And it was my second time lip syncing. And one of the girls was just, you know, bye, girl. And I started laughing. Again, it was nerves. But, you know, I think that's the only thing that I... didn't like seeing, like, I didn't want it to look like I was laughing at Rue and, you know, like kind of trying to be, you know, cheeky in that respect. The only thing I regret was making fun of Mystique though and her weight. You know, Delta Works, one of my best friends, you know, I have a lot of girl friends that are big girls,
right?
But Delta's my closest friend and she's thinner now. Obviously she looks amazing. But at the time, you know, you don't think about that. I would never say the things to Delta that I said to Mystique. Oh, so why is it okay? You know.
So what is it that sort of made you come, what when did you come to that? Like, okay.
I watched it and saw her crying, you know, and it's one thing to kiki with your sisters. And when we're in a dressing room and it's me, Delta, Raven, Mayhem, and Chad, we are all talking shit on each other. We're ripping each other up hardcore, but to each other. And it's funny, but when you're in a setting like RuPaul's Drag Race and you're in a room with 12 bitches you don't know.
Right.
It's a little difficult, and they might not get your sense of humor, you know? So when I saw Mystique crying, it fucked my day up. Like, I really, yeah.
So you learned something from it and moved on. Yeah.
It makes you humble. Drag Race definitely humbles you.
So let's talk about the lip sync moment where you did Two of Hearts mm-hmm. by Stacey Q. Now, one of the things that I think is funny about Stacey Q, and I remember being a teenager and having her album Better Than Heaven.
Oh my God.
And her other single was called We Connect, was uh-huh. the one that came out here. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
They're essentially the exact same song with different lyrics.
Oh, that's not bad. Milli Vanilli did it.
You know, but you listen to them and they're exactly the same song. So I remember having it when it was like on 45 Vine, like I had the actual thing. Because I looked this up yesterday. Do you know what happened to her, Stacey Q?
Well, no, I actually worked with her a couple of times after Drag Race.
On what?
We actually did, there's an event called Cub Camp. And it was at the House of Blues in Anaheim for Gay okay. Days.
Okay.
And that's an amazing event. Like, if anybody goes to Cub Camp, check it out. It's actually so...
What is it?
It's for bears.
Okay.
It's an event, like, run by bears for bears and their admirers, and it's the best time. Bears and lesbians treat the drag queens so lovely. Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
My biggest supporters. So I did the event...
Is that your type? Like, do you have a type in terms of dating?
I don't
like,
really,
are bears your type?
I don't really have a type.
Do they have a chance
know.
With you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't really... I don't know if I have a type, but there's not, again, I don't really see a color line or a...
Well, I say the same thing. One of my, Patty Stanger from Millionaire Matchmaker mm-hmm. is one of my friends, and she always says to me that one of the reasons that she can't set me up or that she has a hard time setting me up is because I don't have a type. And I always say to her, well, shouldn't that make it easier for you? The fact that you could really just go, like, I'm not giving you a narrow playing field. Like, you could set me up with anybody.
Crazy. But no, I think, like, well, I don't like, no fats, no femmes, no blacks, no Asians.
Yeah,
no,
I don't, this, no, I can't
that
stand that.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to divulge too much private information, but, you
know. I'm going to be asking it anyway.
You know, when you taste from the whole cornucopia.
Right.
It teaches you a lot. Actually, and it, you know, I would never want to marginalize myself with white guys only or black guys only or this type only.
Right.
You never know. You never
well, and
know.
Also from a relationship standpoint, how do you know, you could fall in love with somebody. I mean, you're not, if you have a physical type and you will go for only that kind of person,
yeah.
You could be limiting.
Absolutely.
The I fact mean, that you may fall in love with somebody
sexy,
based on
sexy.
Exactly.
You know, sexy is sexy.
And sometimes that has little to do with physical.
And trust me, you know, what you see in a club or on, you know, in public, clothes hide a multitude of sins. You never know what you're going to get. So if you're only attracted to this, or if you only see a torso picture on Grindr,
right.
You're really limiting yourself to what might be.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And if you look at those little things, if you are looking really specifically for physical traits in a partner, it's not going to work, I don't think. But so yeah, anyway, did this gig, Stacey Q. She lip synced Two of Hearts. I nearly killed her. I was like, bitch, don't you know I just did this on television and slayed the fuck out of it.
Like, she couldn't do her as well as you could do
no.
it.
No. And she was just-
So why even try?
Just kind of like doting around, and she was fabulous.
It just makes me laugh. Like, I love the fact that her real name is Stacey Lynn Swain.
And oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, she's now 57.
She still looks flawless.
Does she?
Oh my God, yeah.
But did you know, this may be before your, because there's an age difference. Oh. I like to say we're in the same age group, but we're not. Do you remember the Facts of Life?
Or
do
yes.
You know, okay, so she was on the Facts of Life and she played a character named Cinnamon.
I remember that.
And she sang the songs on the show. George Clooney was on the show very briefly.
I remember
and
that.
And his exit from the Facts of Life was he was going to be a roadie for Cinnamon.
Oh, Lord.
Which is my favorite thing. I just love that. I just felt like, you know. And then, you know, apparently she had like some non-sexual role in a porn film.
Oh, I did not know that either.
Yeah, it was called Playing the Odds. She was a Chinese food delivery girl.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But I'd have been much more interested if she actually was doing porn.
In the porn?
Yeah. So you were eliminated from season two of Drag Race after losing a lip sync battle to Sahara Davenport. Have you rewatched the footage? Like, do you think you were robbed?
Oh, I was not robbed.
You
at
think
all.
She, okay.
She kicked my ass.
I love that you're just so willing to be like, no.
But no, I mean, it's
credit where credit is due.
Yeah. I mean, the bitch was on point shoes and she was doing all this kind of shit. And then she sailed off of the stage and like landed in the splits. And the minute she did that, I was like, girl, bye, girl. It's been fun. But I'm glad I got sent home by somebody so talented. I like that. I want to be challenged.
But see, I also like what I think is interesting about the things you say is that you embrace the new queens and people coming up and that you sort of look at it as there's room for everybody. Like, you don't see it as competition.
There's healthy competition, of course.
Right.
You know, there's always someone younger, skinnier, faster, paints better, better
Gina
hair.
Gina Gershon.
You know what I'm
saying? Somebody younger and hungrier coming down the stairs behind you.
It is very true.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm a show director and I run two different shows. And I, you know, never discount people. And you never turn your back on the younger kids. There's some young kids that are fucking assholes. Mm-hmm. And they just don't get my time. I just don't even engage. But there are girls that are out there at every show hustling, want to be in the shows, want to do it. Those girls are going to have shows one day when I don't, you know. Mm-hmm. And if I want to come perform or if I'm still doing drag, those are the bitches, you know. The hierarchy, you know, you come over the ladder at some point and you're done.
You're done, right.
So, you know, when those young girls are the fresh new thing or there's going to be more girls from LA on Drag Race and they're going to have shows. You know, not that you do treat them nice so you can get something out of them.
But right, just treat them but nice it's because, just respectful.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's different. Like, I would never have barked at one of the older queens when I was a young queen. I think maybe the respect level has kind of dissipated. But I think that, like, the older queens now are being disrespected. And I'm just talking a blank, that's a blanket statement. But I see it. I see, like, well, you're old. And I'm beautiful and I can do the splits and I can shablam. But honey, that one of these old bitches were the ones at Stonewall.
They paved the way. Like,
gay history needs to be remembered.
Right.
You know, just because.
Yeah, you can't ignore that.
Just because we have more rights now, don't forget the people that didn't have any.
So here we are almost seven seasons later.
Yep.
From when you were on. So, and you've sort of held your position as one of the most notable people from the series and one of the fan favorites. So, why do you think that is? Like, what is it about you and your persona that you think that you have? And what do you think some of the others that have fallen by the wayside, what are they missing?
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, obviously the girls that last longer on the seasons have more exposure. Mm-hmm. And when they have a good following, like, because of that, you know, you're not, I don't think it's a luck thing. I think it's you have more exposure, so that's what happens. That's just a natural thing. I got kicked off halfway on season two, but, you know, I try to stay as busy as possible. I'm blessed to work every day of the week locally. I'll always be a local queen. But I'm lucky to travel. And I think the Drag Race obviously kicked off a huge thing for me. But Drag U kind of brought a lot of people that may have had a distaste for me on Drag Race. It showed a different side of my personality because it was a show about helping and caring. I wish it was still fucking on. Drag U was
I thought
so
Drag
much
U was
fun.
Great.
And then just being out there, meeting the people, you always take, I'm the last bitch in the bar taking pictures with people. I'm the last, I make it a point to get as much time with people as possible.
But that's a really smart thing. I mean, not only is it a nice and giving thing to do, but it's also a smart thing to do because when you take time for people, they're your fans forever.
Yeah, but I don't look at it like from that perspective. I just go out there and do it because that's just the thing that needs to be done. It's just performing and getting free drinks is not it. That doesn't make you a queen. Your people make you queen, you know? And, you know, without these people that love and support you, you're a boy in a dress, I guess. I don't know.
I just feel like there's a part of it that's business that you just have to look at
that's
business
the performance
wise.
Part.
Yeah, but also I think part of being in show business is knowing when you need to give back to people and knowing that, you know, when you take time with somebody, they like you for a reason. And when they see that they have even more of a reason because you've given them your time or you've given them time to take the picture or you've signed something for them, that's a smart thing to do. Regardless, I mean, there are some people who don't really want to do it and they do it just because they know they have to. Mm-hmm. And then there are people like you who...
But that always shows out, though. That will always
eventually
show.
Eventually. It comes out somewhere.
Right. But I think, like, if you sign on to do drag... Look, I look at people like Lady Bunny or RuPaul or Coco Peru, like these legendary bitches, Jackie B, always will stop and take pictures. They always... They still hustle and they still will sign and sign. Obviously, it's a little harder for Ru... She, you know,
right.
The amount of people that want and we're pulling you each which way. I always think, like, with Raven, I was at a gig with her in Philadelphia, and I'd come down the stairs, and people were engaged, and I was like, oh, yeah, pictures, pictures, pictures. And then I went back upstairs and brought Raven down. Like, we walked back down together, and the amount of people that, like, rushed her kind of gave me a panic attack a little bit. I was like, oh, my goodness. So maybe I was blessed to go home when I did, you know. And I think the people that do support me, I call them my morgasms. I don't like the word fan. I call them, they're my family. They're my morgasms. They're very loyal. And I love the fact that they can debate and they can be, you know, adults.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I like that.
Have you ever met a morgasm and date somebody who was a fan who turned in or morgasm who turned into a romantic interest?
No. I've made a lot of really close friends that started out at coming to the shows because of Drag Race or coming to the shows just because it's LA. And then really become very close with a lot of people, you know?
So do you feel at this point, like you said that the makeup is always evolving or whatever. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to give some of our female listeners, what would be your top three makeup tips?
Wash your brushes for sure. Definitely keep your
noted.
Keep your makeup clean because that, you know, it's your face.
Right.
Number two, always have a red lipstick. Russian red is the best lipstick, I think, from MAC. It's amazing. And tip number three.
Have you tried the Louboutin lipstick? I just love the packaging. No, I don't know if it's any good.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I did not even
know. It came out right after the nail polish. It's like they're slowly moving into cosmetics.
I did not know that. I'm going to have to.
And the nail lacquer is awesome.
And then I think the third thing is try new makeup. Like one of my favorite makeup brands is Atomic Cosmetics, and they're out of Seattle. And it's a doctor, Dr. Jen. Everything's organic. Everything's non-toxic. And I think that's really good. I love it. That's why my skin looks so fabulous.
Now, how do you keep your body in such good shape? Like, what do you...
I used to exercise. I let that fall by the wayside, actually. I don't know. I just eat healthy, I suppose. And I have a great trainer, Lara. And she's up in Pasadena. She's amazing. Her name is Lara Ma. Check her out.
I could definitely use her.
She's amazing. She's flawless. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll give you her number. Yes, please. Now, can we... This is one thing that people ask, I know a lot, is the tucking situation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that as uncomfortable as it sounds?
It's second nature now, but at the beginning, it was a weird, awkward feeling.
Right. Because you're basically taping your dick up behind, or you're not taping.
I'm not taping. I don't tape. I use a gaff.
Which is what?
Which is the tubing of a sock.
Oh.
And then, like, the rim of a pair of pantyhose. And it's like a makeshift panty, you know?
Oh, that's
smart.
So it kind
of keeps everything tight and up. Right.
Oh, that's good. That sounds better sometimes now.
Because, you know, the folds of the sock and the skin and...
Have you ever had a moment where you're like, oh, shit, I got to get off here and fix something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the time. Oh, yeah. And especially if you're driving, you have to have one leg kind of out the fucking window and then the other one on the steering wheel just to kind of balance it out.
So what's your dating situation? What's your situation now as a... Are you single?
I have a partner.
You have a partner.
Yes.
And when you were in the dating world, did you ever have people who were either attracted to the kind of work you do or turned off by the kind of work you do that made the relationship hard? Or,
well, I think of my relationship with the person that I was in a relationship with when I was on Drag Race was in love with the character of Morgan and loved the perks of that.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to sort of figure that out? Because that's a tricky thing to navigate.
I think I knew, but in my mind, I just wanted to have this fairy tale, or I don't know, but that obviously did not work out particularly well. My partner now is amazing. He likes the Morgan thing because he does hair, so he helps me out. All right, hello.
Finding the right guy.
He'll be happy to help, but he prefers the Thomas, and he prefers to be behind the scenes, and he works on his career, and he does, you know, he's traveling all over the world doing hair, and it's awesome. But
does anyone else touch Morgan's hair, or now he's exclusively done by your partner?
I think I can do it myself, but you know, it's not that. It's not like, you know, he just does it to help me.
Help you.
Yeah. And he'll sew wigs together and he's awesome like that. He's very under the radar and I like that.
So what do you see? I mean, you've been through this whole experience and, you know, you're still performing and mm-hmm. you're still doing shows. You're going to be at RuPaul's Drag Con at the LA Convention Center May 7th and 8th.
Yes.
And I'm actually going to be there too, signing copies of Porn Again.
I can't wait to get a fucking, I'm getting a Rascal this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Just to go.
Well, it's going to be four times bigger than it was last year.
Oh, I've heard.
And my feet were, I had a broken ankle last year. And I was getting back on my two feet when DragCon was happening.
But you don't just walk the floor, do you?
I did. You know, we all had our booths, and that's where we sell our merchandise.
Right. Will you have a booth this year?
I'm not having a booth this year. I'm going to be having a little red wagon with all my shit in it.
And I'm will you come by and...
Yeah.
The book signing?
Of course.
Okay.
But I'm just going to kind of pull my red
wagon. You can use some of my area to leave stuff if you want. I'll share space.
I think I was out meeting people more than I was selling stuff.
Right.
Again, that's probably not great for a business perspective, but for me, I thought it was more fun to be with people.
Right.
You know, I always think that. And then, like, walking by, like, you know, maybe Katya's table or Jessica Wilde's table, talk shit for a minute, take some pictures with their people, and it's just, that's more fun to me.
What do you see for you coming up? Like, will you do the drag thing as long as you're happy doing?
You'll keep
that going. What else do you want to do?
Well, I don't know what I want to do.
Because you said you've directed some stuff.
Oh, well, I'm doing a web series, and it's called What Gets on My Tits, which is, and a lot of people don't know what that means. A lot of Americans don't know what that means. It's kind of a nod to What Gets on My Nerves.
Right.
In Scotland, What Gets on My Tits.
I don't know why I just understood it. Yeah. I understood that.
Because you have a nasty sense of humor. Okay. And that, you know. But What Gets on My Tits is a nod to What Gets on My Nerves.
Okay.
And I get to bitch every week, and I get to, you know, just talk about the things I like to talk about. And I like doing that.
And where can people find that?
On my YouTube channel, Morgan McMichaels. And I had done a lot of stuff with, like, the WOW Presents, which I need to get back and do more. But I had my Living for the Lip Sync, and I had, you know, my Hooker Makeover and my Rooftop Lip Sync. And I'm lucky to have had that exposure as well. And I think that's taken me very far.
I want to come in for a makeover.
Oh, we don't do it anymore because apparently the sex workers of America were offended that Michelle and I were making people into hookers. Oh Lord. But yeah.
But that comes full circle to what I was saying before. Everybody wants to be offended about everything.
Yeah. Well, let them be. I mean,
whatever.
I have a theory. Unless you feed me, fuck me, or finance me, you don't really have an opinion of
about the three F's.
The three F's. But I'm actually going to be starting a new web series on my channel, and I don't know what I'm calling it yet, because you have to be careful with verbiage.
Right.
But basically I'm going to be talking about each week talking about a queen who maybe has not been on Drag Race or will never be on Drag Race, but people deserve to see them. Because, you know, there are so many queens out there that I've met on the road or met even here in LA that have worked for years that deserve to be seen. And I may only get 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 views on each video, and I'm happy with that.
Right.
I'm happy because I know those people want to see
it. They want to see it, right.
And they deserve to see these queens, like TP Lords, from Miami or Mayhem Miller or, you know, Nina West from Columbus. There's so many fucking fierce bitches.
Well, and then you give them an opportunity to...
Yeah. I just love what we do. I love drag. I'm just a drag queen. I'm not a drag queen that's trying to be a singer or this or that. I'm a drag queen to be a drag queen. And that's just what
Which
I do.
Which is great. So on that note, people can find you on Twitter at Morgan McMichael without
yes,
the S.
Without the S. I couldn't fit the S.
And on Instagram, it's Morgan McMichaels.
Yes.
And is there a Facebook page people
There's
should go to?
There's two Facebook pages. One is my everyday. Okay. And then the other one is the fan
page. Okay.
What's so the fan page?
They can find you at Morgan McMichaels.
And then I'm on Snapchat and I'm on everything. I try to get as much exposure as possible.
Well, everybody check out Morgan McMichaels and come visit us at DragCon May 7th and 8th. All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for listening. The No Holds Barred conversation continues 24/7 on Facebook at Josh Sabara Author, at Twitter and Instagram at Josh Sabara, and then buckle your seatbelts for some titillating real talk. Porn Again, a memoir by Josh Sabara, is available now as a trade paperback, ebook, and audiobook.